Logos Centrifugal Podcast. I'm Chance Lunsford. I'm also Logos Centrifugal. I'll let you try to figure that one out. While you're figuring, let me introduce you to today's special guest. We're going to call him Jivanmukti. And we'll let him fill in any gaps in between there if he likes. This is a gentleman I ran into on Twitter. And at first I wasn't quite sure what to make of him. In fact, I'm still not quite sure what to make of him. But what I learned over the course of interacting is that Jivanmukti has a very good heart. He's got a great heart. He means well. And sometimes he speaks in a language that is, let's say, hard to understand if you are only a casual person. If you're used to casual engagement, then the things that he speaks and the way that he speaks is not going to make a lot of sense to you. But if you open yourself up and really think or listen about what he's saying, there are these moments where his goodness and his channel with the Creator shines through. And I think a lot of people have sort of had this interaction or this like series of interactions with you where at first they're not sure really what to do with you, and then they just kind of keep going, and then sooner or later you have this realization that you're really a kind-hearted person and that you have a lot to offer if you can kind of vibe on the same wavelength with you. And look, I really don't want to stumble through this introduction any more than I already have. I'd like for you to kind of fill in the gaps there, tell the people a little bit more about who you are, what you do, what you're about, and I'll sit back and let you do that.
Let us discuss the Supreme Self. What can you tell me about the Supreme Self?
What can I?
It's true.
Well, the thing about the Supreme Self is it is ubiquitous. Divisionary tactics are an illusion. And confusion. We are one. Unless we choose not to be.
Johannama Yuka Zibu Bial Mojrimo Yato Fumo Baina Baina Mina Fabi.
What am I supposed to do with that, dude? Come on now.
Good question. Good question.
I didn't know this was going to be the beatboxing episode.
No, it could be an episode as regards what to do with those who are in need in society. You know.
That's Let's get into that. Idea. Let's get into that then.
So we're writing a book as of now. The main idea in that aspect is global communal meal, so that we just get a perfect resource share amongst all beings on this planet, going for the 100%, no one neglected, nobody neglected ever, so that we get a worldwide food network, or that let's just bypass the system completely and just get the farmers to move from where they are to their highest expression self. As serious as that may be.
And what do you propose is the process by which that could occur?
Refinology.
Explain.
Yes, okay. Apologies if this conduit is not coming through that clearly. We're still destroying a lot of years of brain trauma, so on and so forth. What do you ask me, sir?
So I'm trying to give you the space to paint the process by which you imagine this process of inclusiveness and helping to bring up the least among us might occur.
By shifting everything to crypto markets and fully open chaining them.
Why crypto markets?
Because of blockchain technology, smart contracts.
And why do you see that as relevant?
When we retrieve the original form of the foods on planet Earth that they actually were in prior to all this pollution, environmental damage that CG caused us, then we'll remember what it truly means to be alive. And we'll remember what all these foods were here for in the first place. Foods, herbs, trees, all sorts of beings. On some level, just for us as human beings, but not really on that level, not really in the high level, in the high dimensions. It's all about Allah in the high dimensions. All beings are one.
Do you think that blockchain and smart contracts, or in other words, this sort of cryptographic and encoded chain of accountability, and with each instance of the transference of this information being conducted by a smart contract, do you think that's analogous to the way that reality flows along anyway?
Transactional quantum mechanics is already probably not the case.
And do you think that
Darwinism as well, immortality, by decoding the only possibility there ever can be of immortality, the one and only possibility out of all the infinite measure possibilities, is decoding a singular immortality possibility.
And what does that look like?
Infinite beauty. Transcendental beauty. The beauty of the supreme self. Don't worry, I'm only just you showing you.
So how do you reconcile in your mind or in your heart the process of So let me frame this a little bit. So let's use blockchain as an example. You have these instances, and with each of these instances comes a handshake and a record, and they accrue over time so that there's this chain of happenings and this chain of agreements that goes along, and everything is built upon the last things that have come before it. But each of those instances is an instance. Whereas what you're describing is like the grand self is the very concept of an overarching unity. And so I wonder, how do you reconcile the idea of instances or chains of events or these divisions of the infinite unity leading as a process leading to recognition of the grand unity?
I heard what you say. The answer is found in super consciousness and in the art of brief analogy. Now, what that would be is purifying the word spoken by all beings into the Hamid Azim pathway, meaning that you've got to get all language purified, all language just perfectly symmetrical and taking the exact truth, exact haq. Only then would it be resolved. But that's inevitable anyway. That's when Qiyamah reaches. That's when the hour comes, the day of judgment. That's when it returns as a guarantee. And it's said in the Quran al-Hakim that the Malaika and the Ruh ascend to Allah in a span of which is 50,000 years, of which we measure. which we measure, which Allah measures. So it takes that long. It's instantaneous on the back foot.
What is your take on the concept of time? Do you think time is a fundamental piece of existence, or more illusionary than that?
You've heard of the music of the spheres, haven't you?
I've heard the music of the spheres.
Celestial oval, which I travel. Motion through hyperspace. Well, one thing to be said is that this entire dunya, this entire material reality, is traveling through hyperspace at maximum rapidity. So the difference between the velocity of light is that the velocity of light is constant, whereas the rapidity of light is infinite. There's nothing faster in terms of rapidity than light.
How do you mean that? In other words, what do you suggest is the difference between speed and rapidity?
Be aware that I'm getting spiritual attack on a regular basis. It's not your fault. It's not anything to do with the physical attack. It's just I have to go through my own space.
So I'm asking you to clarify for me what you mean by the difference between the speed of light and the rapidity of light, because you said the speed of light is constant, but the rapidity of light is infinite.
Alright, got a hard answer for this one. Our level.
While you're doing your thing right there, let me just remind you to keep that mic just a little bit away from your mouth so that I can hear you a little more distinctly.
You take that badge and shove it up your ass.
That sounds much better.
What was you talking about a second ago?
I was talking about what you were talking about 2 seconds ago.
Vice versa, that makes 2 of us. I'm getting buddied up. No, for real. Something has to be done about the situation on planet Earth. If we don't step in, then things are going to be remorseless. So we have to all step in and just do everything fully to overpower the parasites and take over the life back to how it originally has this in true nature of how it truly is. And believe it or not, the Sijin will hate this, but they have to go. They don't belong in existence. They belong in Jahannam. That's the seriousness of the matter.
I'm not a big fan of cities, to be honest.
I don't say cities, I said the Sijin, Sijeen in English.
Translate that, please.
There are only two records, there it does. There are only two records in the book of life. One is the book of souls who have lost, the book of people or beings that have lost their souls. It's called the Sijin. It's a numerical record. And the same thing, there is a book called Iliyin, which records all the righteous actions of any creation being, created being. If that makes any sense to you.
And one of those books is going to burn? Is that what you suggest?
It's happening in the immediate instance here now, so I can't contact it. But what it is that you got to look at it from your hyper-self perspective. It's much easier to solve these problems in hyperspace because it's very, very large. Vertical. Arban's got there.
Let me ask you something, man. What how did you get here? How did you get to this space that you're existing in? Because as I'm sure that you're aware, there's a lot going on with you that is not sort of the standard fare of, you know, a lot of people out there. And that's something, I mean, that's why you're here, is because I identify with that. And I'm kind of an odd dude. And I like you because you're sort of like unabashedly and unashamedly an odd dude. And I wonder, how did you get from wherever you started to where you are right now? Because you're kind of a fascinating guy, and to be where you are, is you couldn't have walked a standard path.
Did not. Accelerated physics. Read ahead years and years ahead. Forgot the nature of physics. Had to educate myself because I was going through the whole thing all on my own. Family didn't understand me. Nobody answered me in the streets. I couldn't tell anybody either. I didn't know how to. I was too innocent. I just didn't pay the whole way through. Then Kundalini awakening occurred. Then on 10th of October 2011, in a certain timing, I entered another cup of samadhi once and for all. And since then, life has been sweet with its ups and downs, but every day is a greater and greater blessing. I'm honored to meet you, my friend. And I'm pretty sure you're destined to never cup of samadhi yourself.
You know, I've known people in my life who exist in, let me frame this a little bit. So let's call this right here everyday life for the average person. There's no such thing as the average person, but let's say that this is the average of all the frequencies of human existence right here. And there are lower frequencies, and you start moving closer to, let's call it, destructive tendencies. And there are higher frequencies, which sort of are also destructive of maybe like the physical form, but they free you to exist in a more spiritual manner. But then there's also these frequencies. And they're a parallel, and they have something to do with the rest of the frequencies, but they are not, it's like a Venn diagram. You have your sphere over here and you have the other sphere over here, and there's levels within them, but they coalesce, but only in a portion. And I get the feeling talking to you, and I've known several people like this in my life. There's just a sliver of you that sort of is able to interact with other people. And it probably has to do, one, with intelligence, and also two, with sort of the process by which your brain operates. The mechanisms of your consciousness are shifted in some way. Because
I've been talking to you the whole time. The whole way through this time or so and so forth. The whole way through until we achieve this podcast. Back to peace. Infinite humility is the essence of all the treasures of the Supreme Self.
Try to keep that mic just a little bit away from your mouth.
Yep.
Yeah, there we go.
First and foremost, we'll say that is more about Allah, Nur Hakim, Creator, God, Yah, whichever, whatever name you want to call it. That's the one that we all rely on, to whom we turn, you know. Whether anyone accepts it or doesn't accept it, that's how it is.
You know, I've never met a schizophrenic atheist. What do you think that is?
Because it's not possible. Once you have your mind and heart open to those dimensions, it's just not possible, because Allah is absolute reality. It's complete haq, complete truth, complete wisdom, complete peace, complete certainty, and complete presence, most of all. Presence of existence. We can see that we clearly do exist, all of us.
There are times, my friend, when you are communicating.
Just to speak up, because there are some interferences in the universal field, but it's to be stated explicitly that white tantric questhood is the pathway home, and whoever sends it does not, that's the seriousness of the matter. So it'd be very foolish to ignore that aspect of reality, because it's the most humble teaching one could accept, and it's the first form of unconditional love that ever can be.
I'm sitting here pondering, and I'm letting your words sort of resonate within me, and I wonder which there are multiple yous, and some of them are quite, some of them are quite grounded, and others are not. And I think that's true of everybody, but perhaps people cling to certain versions of themselves because of its utility, or because of its comfort. And you seem to have removed those restrictions from yourself. Or has it always been that way? Were you sort of as multifaceted in your expression as a child?
I was even more sensitive as a child than I am now. But what I tell you is that the Quran healed my life. It's still working on my life. I still got a lot of issues to face. I'm not happy with where I am at this point in time. I'll tell you the honest truth about that.
Why?
Too many arguments, dissensions.
So what is the path forward?
It's not a lot of creating me. It's just myself as a soul. I have a lot of things of my own burden to deal with, and I don't wish that upon anybody else. I'd rather just prefer myself and move on forward.
Fair enough. Do you believe that you've been gifted with a unique and specific piece of the great message to deliver?
Everybody else, all Jivatman in existence, are destined ultimately to be messengers of Allah, except for the Sijin that goes to Jahannam and will never come out of it. One way or another, there's only one task, is to be a messenger of Allah. There's only one task in all of existence, anyway.
You know, I wrote an email to my relatively small collection of people in my email list today, and I was describing a situation in which I was asked to step on stage and deliver a message. And one of the lessons I relayed in that email was that when you step onto a stage in front of people, it's mostly goodwill that you're experiencing as they look upon you, and as their spark shines towards you. But it's chaotic, because there are many different channels that are sort of coalescing around you, and it's your responsibility and it's your job as the person on the stage to organize or to bring order to that chaotic message, and then to send it back as a more complete or more unified energy that everybody in the audience can then partake of and become more unified. And I also said that the way that you do that is by taking that energy within you and then channeling it up to the divine creative force or God or Allah or whoever you want to name him. But then he sends it back to you, and then you are the channel through which that unified and purified and perfected message then flows. But because you are an imperfect messenger, it will be flavored by your own character. But as long as you are committed to doing your best to relay that pure message that's been gifted to you, that it will bring people closer to that perfected or purified message. And that's what I'm attempting to do here with you, because there are these moments I have with you, both on Twitter and here right now as we're talking, where I puzzle over what you're saying for a minute. And then because I sense no malice and because I sense no desire to divide, I'm willing to take what seems very non sequitur or very sort of disjointed and let it sit there for a minute and see what happens within me. And I have a lot of these things coming out of me now because I have a pretty good understanding of physics. I've been studying it for a long time, and a lot of my metaphysics is based upon physical reality. And I try not to get into that too much with people, because a lot of times I get the blank stare, like, what? I just want a discount at Walmart, dude. And it's like, okay, well, I understand, but there's more to it than that. And so I suppose what I'm saying here is that there are these, I hope right now, as we're speaking to each other, and as I'm gaining a greater understanding of you as a person and of what you're trying to relay, that I can be a translator for you, for the people who are going to listen to this, because I really do sense from you that there is a divine spark within you that's trying to share itself with the rest of us. And it maybe just like I described before, you know, we have these circles, and maybe most people have a lot of connection, and you're like right here, and I understand that, and I identify with that, because I don't, like, I'm pretty far out there too in a lot of ways. And I love to be able to provide this platform to all different kinds of messages and to try to unify people around the truths that I find and I perceive. And I guess I just wonder, as I say this to you and then I kick it back around to you, what do you think is the mechanism by which we could all sort of try to bring that unity of message and that unity of spirit, regardless of sort of the confusing or the confounding features or mechanisms that seek to keep us divided?
In fact, there would be an algorithm that would iteratively deduce the precise potential of the occurrence for equal share of wealth between all beings, equal, meritocratically so, but nonetheless equal in proportion, so that each being gets exactly the precise measure of what is justly due. That's the law of Allah, that's the sunnah of Allah already. There's no change in that. There's no way to battle it or overcome it. There's no change in that whatsoever. The rich in financial terms are poor in spirit, or not necessarily in order, but and a poor in financial terms will tend to be rich in spirit, but not necessarily in order either. So it's a very complex situation that we got going on. And the only real way, I'll tell you straight up, is just self-love and pure, relentless, unbounded, infinite, majestic self-love, you know?
So, I'm going to step into your frame a little bit, because, you know, I'm really grateful that I had a falling out with my religion, or like my foundational experience of understanding and communicating with God, because it pushed me onto this path where I read the Quran and I read the Tao Te Ching and I read the Bible and I read the Book of Mormon and I read the commentaries and I read all kinds of different spiritual teachings and New Age stuff and numerology and all these kinds of things. And what I came to the understanding of is that almost all the spiritual teachings and traditions are all trying to describe a different aspect, or trying to get you to understand the path to that ultimate understanding of the divine creative being, not just force, but being. And that this all-encompassing existence is sort of inseparable from that being, because it is the very pure and unadulterated expression of that being. And that therefore, because you are one with that being, or alternately, that you are as that being is, or you are parallel to that being, meaning, let's say Allah is the grandest or the most high of the eternal beings, and therefore set the bar or directed the path for which the rest of us could follow. Either that, or we are just a piece of Allah or God divided and then destined to return to the unity as one with that being. And I wonder, sort of, okay, you know, the Quran teaches all is as Allah wills it. All things are as Allah has dictated it should be. And just as I, as a person, have features within me or parts within me that don't serve the truth that I hold dear, and I cut them away from me, so too perhaps some of us are those features within the mind of the divine or the most high. But at the same time, sometimes I've been wrong in those judgments, and perhaps the perfected one is not prone to make those kinds of mistakes. But I suppose I wonder.
That is what it means to be human, my friend.
Yeah. But
that's exactly what it means to be. Just allow that to be. Because that's essence, that's absorption in its own self, its own nature. There's no need to change or try to move away. It's just once you look at it from hyperspatial eyes, then you'll be free forever. Methyl tryptamine gets the way, leads the way to that. They try to make it a legal one, they try to make it a class A drug that should be a class A drug, because it's the spirit molecule that purifies our beings from dross, from eternal dross. Obviously, not everyone wants to be purified, but those of us who want to be purified, they should stand at the fundamental right and have access to methyl tryptamine, because it's already secreted in the heart and the lungs. And when and such people receive the methyl tryptamine, then they'll remember their true self far beyond this, you know, in eternity. And then all the issues essentially on this planet will be resolved, because deity has the ability to show the human being what the true nature of reality is, as the beauty of it, far beyond any perception of doubt.
So
that's how that.
For those who are not familiar with dimethyltryptamine, or DMT for short, I'm going to very briefly describe to you what a DMT experience is like, as best as can really be done. And my experience is, and this is all allegedly and only hearsay, but here's how it goes. You bring the substance within you. There's my daughter screaming. She's worried I'm giving away the secrets of the universe. You bring the substance within you, and suddenly, at a certain point, you hear. And this tone, this crescendo of this high-pitched tone encompasses your entire being. And you realize your being has had a frequency all along that you have not been paying attention to, and then this frequency that you have now brought within yourself begins to resonate your entire being, and then it pushes to a point where your conscious mind can no longer comprehend the frequency that it's being subjected to, and it lets go. And at that moment, and before that happens, everything begins to turn into geometric patterns, and you perceive resistance, you perceive a veil, so to speak. And it's almost like you're in a dome-like existence. And these patterns begin to take over your vision, but it's more than vision. It's your entire experience begins to form these geometric patterns. And then as the tone finally reaches the point where you can no longer comprehend consciously what is happening to you, infinity. And when you are infinity, anything is possible. Anything can happen. You have these experiences that transcend time, that transcend space. You might be in interstellar space in one moment, and then you might be speaking with a dead relative who you realize is not actually dead, is just in another place. And then you might be talking with giant lizards operating machinery, and then you might be talking with some other whimsical spirit that relays to you some sort of nonsensical thing that resonates so deeply with your soul that you know it's not nonsensical. And then you see the dance of the planets, and then you zoom out and you see that it's a dance of existence, and then you zoom in and you see that the exact same dance is taking place on the most infinitesimal level. And then you realize there is no end to that infinitesimal levels. It's just forever deep and forever big. And you have all these experiences and all these revelations. And then you go, boom, boom. And you arrive back into your physical existence. And you forget almost all of it immediately. And you go, what? And then your friend goes, dude, you realize that was 4 minutes? And you go, no. That was a billion years. And that was also, time doesn't exist. And that was also less than a second. And they go, yeah, man. And that's kind of just to kind of help people understand what that experience is like as best as I could, because it's sort of impossible to describe. And I suppose it's a very useful mechanism, or like a very useful perspective to take, when really that's the person standing next to you. That's the person down the road. That's the person you think is your enemy. It's even your own self. You know, we all have these hang-ups and these attachments and these judgments about what's going on in the world around us. And I suppose the true factor is whether or not your frequency, your being, is dissonant or harmonious, resonant or disruptive. And then you have to, or I suppose you're presented with the opportunity to ask, what am I going to do about that? And I think maybe not to such a sort of infinite extent as a DMT trip can provide to a person. But I think most people, if not all people, unless there's some sort of structural situation going on that disconnects them from a lot of that stuff, most people are good people who want to reconcile that dissonance, want to reconcile that disharmonious part of themselves. But it's hard. And it's a cause of fear, and it's a cause of disturbance, because there are all these things we hold precious about ourselves. Who am I? And what does that mean? And if I let that go, then what would I be? And that's why I think, and maybe I'll pass this back to you to talk about this, but that's why I think, and that's why I've chosen to believe that, you know, I am part of that divinity, and that there is a benevolent guiding force that's asking me to unify. And I just wonder, to kick it back to you, maybe your perspective on that whole thing, and maybe what you might suggest to a person who is seeking to bring about more unity within themselves.
Synchronic resonance.
By what mechanism?
Answer questions with a convenient active and prior to convenient waking. Once you awaken convenient, you are invited to paradise, provided you choose out my path of servanthood to others and yourself, Allah. That would be proven evidentially true by the final being. There are no contradictions in the final being. That's a straight talk. That's the fundamental constitution of our universe, is the final hacking of final being. That is a constitution as of day when it got revealed. That's the truth. That's the haq. It explains everything that's going on planet Earth. All of our names are included in the wall of us, one holo Quran. It explains in detail every aspect of the plan of those who wrong themselves, every aspect of the plan of those who right themselves. It's a mighty work from the Almighty, from the Praiseworthy, from the Jawad.
Here's a question that has been asked through the ages, and I wonder your take on it. Let us assume for a moment that everything you've just said is true. That there is no contradiction in the true existence. How then do we manifest the illusion of contradiction in our own lives? And through what mechanism is that made possible?
In one sound. See if you can make it a single sound.
You make a sound.
It takes a while because I'm not fully in my integrated self as of yet. It's just been about since about 2010, I was brought into hospital with this and the other severe psychiatric trauma, psychiatric harmfulness, and that led to brain damage. Wow, I can't go for continuing awakening. It's horrific because nobody should have to endure that. I went the trial by fire path and I got the trial by father fire. Not father, fire. Trial by fire. Only took a few years and it was the most powerful experience of my life. That's the nature. So after you get done with DMT, DMT takes you into the edge of space, the dimension. It also takes you far above into other dimensions as well, but let's keep it simple. So after that, after DMT, the next step is a Kundalini itself. Holy Spirit, you know, throughout with us.
You know, it's interesting that you juxtapose the DMT experience with Kundalini, because so all right, let's frame this in maybe a way that many people are familiar with at this point. It's rather remarkable to me that it is the case now, but let's talk about chakras for a moment, because okay, you know, you have this process of like being a very base situation where it's a low frequency, and then it moves and 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 it moves. But in this form, in this physical form here, in order for us to exist in this realm, there's a limit, you know, and it's kind of like right here above our head. You know, before we started this recording, you held your hand above your head and I just kind of looked at you puzzled for a second. Then I just raised my hand above my head and you said, send the energy upward. And I said, it's bidirectional. It comes back down to us too. But this right here, this one right here, just above our head, this is the one that we struggle in our day-to-day lives to connect to in a meaningful way and still be able to relay or communicate in a way that makes sense or connects to other people in a visceral way, because this is not a visceral frequency. and it's tough to translate it back down to the place where people can understand. And I wonder, because my sense of the DMT experience is that there are infinite more chakras above that. There's no end to the paradigms. There's no end to the frequencies. And so I guess I wonder, from your perspective, like what you're doing right there, the sound you made, the sounds you made exist, right? It's all part of the thing. And I suppose the confusion comes in when, say, I or the listener tries to go, well, what does it mean? And I guess sort of the message I'm getting from you is it means a lot. it means that it's just more of the unified whole. It's all part of the ultimate truth, and that the only confusion or the only sort of dissonance comes in your interpretation of any of it. You know, you make a sound or you start chanting a thing or you say a thing, and then I'm in a position where I can just exist in the same space and there it is and here I am, or I can say, well, what do I think about that, or what does this mean to me? And I suppose I wonder how you, because I mean, let's be frank here, man, and it's no secret to you or anybody who's had any experience with you, you're not operating on the same wavelength as most of us. However you want to describe it.
What I'm showing people right now is the form of vasanas and samskaras. These vasanas and samskaras will be unwired, undone. Then you shall see my true angelic human self. Sapphire blue.
So how do you suggest people do that? How do you suggest people reconcile themselves with trying to, or allowing, I suppose, the light that exists within themselves and within their neighbor to be the focus of their attention, to be the focus of their world?
Look within and share the love from heart to heart. Nur from within to within, batin to batin, zai to zai. Every time you get even the smallest amount of light, amount of nur, always share it. Got to share it because it is so precious, beyond all comprehension. It's infinite riches, beyond all measure.
I suppose within that concept is the idea also that the light, the goodness, the beauty, it doesn't really belong to us. It only exists for us to share amongst each other. Is that your sense?
Let me read to you some verses. Earth. That's the wrong one. Traps.
How could it ever be the wrong one?
Good point as well. It's just what I'm looking for. That ayat is not a joke, man. It's the most serious ayat that I've seen. That will turn your 1-1 serious off. Or 2-1 money. 1736 is serious as well. That's the one that gets you safe from all delusions. If you want to enter Noah Cup's money, then just apply 1736 to your life. And you'll take Noah Cup's money straight. Guaranteed.
Hey, what just happened to you right there?
What's up?
You. That's interesting, man. The Quran brings you back to lucidity.
Yeah.
Is that why you saved your life?
It saved my life. Like, I was in a worse of positions to essentially enter Jahannam. But then I read the Quran, it put my heart straight. I was going to be horrible. I knew that there was only two directions. One is up and one is down. I had to see which one would wager. I didn't know which direction it would go in. But then I recognized that I was going the wrong. I was in the wrong for trying to disbelieve, you know. And then I then awakened. Even though prior to that I was already awakened, that's the ironic thing about that. It doesn't make any sense to me either yet, but it will make sense to me. But as soon as I read the Quran, as soon as 24:35 reached my eyes, then my life just filled with nur, with light. I'm just looking for translation right now. Not translation, I'm looking for a recital.
You know, while you're doing that, when I read the Quran, I read the Quran where one page had two columns, and one column was Arabic in Arabic characters, and one was Arabic in English characters, and then the other page was English translation and then commentary in the two columns there. And so I would scan the Arabic and the Arabic characters with my eyes, and then I would do my best to read out loud the Arabic and the English characters, and it had a little card that would help you with pronunciation. And then I would read the English translation, and then I would go through and read the commentary. And it was very interesting to me. You know, there's very people who have only read the Quran in English, even if they're devout Muslims, they're missing something, because as all Muslims know, the Quran is written in verse, which is something quite remarkable. And the flow and the rhythms and the patterns that are present in the verses are as much a part of the communication as are the words that are within there. And I felt very much like, even though I didn't have a comprehension of the Arabic language, that by reading through the verses and getting a feel for the sounds and the rhythms and the patterns, I had a greater understanding when I went through and read the English. And I suppose I just was throwing that out there to bridge the gap between where we were and where we are now. And here we've arrived. And I wonder where that puts us.
In a very clear situation of victory over all forces.
Damn it, dude. I like you a lot. You're something else.
We already declared victory in advance. We know it's going to go down, but we just say, well, I'm going to be stepping out, and you better still get the fuck out of my way. That's it.
You know what? I identify with your message of reaching a moment where you had to choose finally between becoming a force for darkness or a force for light, between taking the path and finally committing to the path down or finally committing to the path up, because that's my story too, my friend. And perhaps that's why we have connected against so many odds in a certain
way. Our families go way back, man. There's nothing you already knew in me.
It's like a parabola. You know, we started at one end and perhaps we divided, you know, like, but it all comes back to the singular point. But then of course it's more like this.
Sure. Great. Geotology.
Worlds without end.
It works, man. Dual cultivation.
Did you find your verse?
Yep. Bismillah. All billah. Bismillah. Very common in those secret societies. I know everywhere is some secret society, by the way. Of me podcast, so bear with us. It's all love either way, man, higher levels.
الله نور السماوات والأرض مثل نوره كمشكات فيها مصباح المصباح في زجاجة الزجاجة كأنها كوكب دري يوقد من شجرة مباركة يوقد من شجرة مباركة زيتونة لا شرقية ولا غربية يكاد زيتها يضيء ولو لم تمتس نار نور على نور يهدي الله لنوره من يشاء ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس والله بكل شيء عليم.
So check this out. I'm a very visual thinker. I can hold images in my head and manipulate them and leave them and return to them as though I had never left them. And I was sitting back listening just now, and I was seeing a serpent undulating along a path, and then I took a step back, another paradigm higher, I suppose, and saw a Roboros, the snake that consumes itself in an infinite pattern.
Charles.
And then I was swept away by the sands of the desert. Yeah.
Take a chance and see if you're ready. Mother Kundalini awakened within you.
Say it slower.
Mother Kundalini awakened within me.
Mother Kundalini awakened within me. Here, I want to play a game too. I'm gonna take this finger right here. And I'm going to take it and I'm going to put it right up to the camera. And I want you to imagine that my finger is going to touch you right there. And when it does, I want you to speak the message. You ready?
Alhamdulillah. You can do that. Holy man. Father, forgive me. What do you think is the significance of that? What I'm saying is this and another. I'm saying, what do you feel is significant about that? Because it obviously is very significant.
Well, I have had this conflict within me my life because I have felt compelled throughout my life to sort of accept the mantle of prophet, if you will, or communicator of the message. And then I have to step back and ask myself, am I being true or am I being prideful? Because that inclination exists in both of those parts of me. And the message that I share can impact people, not just me, which is important, but the people around me and the people who share my message. And I was just speaking with my friend Atlas, who you're familiar with on Twitter, Entes Leo, Lion's Teeth. And I told him that there's this thing within me that, you know, just like we talked about before, where we each kind of reached this moment where we had to decide whether we were going to be a servant of the light or a slave to the darkness. But the trouble with that is that even should you choose to be a servant of the light, it is not as though the darkness ever distances itself from you. You just have to continue to walk the path, and it's a constant, and you begin to recognize the flavor and the character and everything. But I'm a human being and I'm flawed, and sometimes I make the wrong decision. And that's a tricky position to be, where you feel like you have a responsibility to communicate the message, but you also feel like you have to make sure that the message that you are communicating is the one you're supposed to be communicating. And I've been pondering a lot about that during this, I mean, whatever you want to call this. I'm not quite sure what to call it. This is very much a peculiar version of the Logo Centrifugal podcast. And so, you know, we're going to, for certain, have lost a great deal of people by this time.
And what?
Because we're going to have lost a lot of people along the way.
Well, those who never followed them as a journal, that's a real bonus of it.
I'm not so sure. Some, yes, but perhaps some just are not yet ready to come here with us, or perhaps this message was just not meant for everyone. This place that we're going to here between you and I, maybe it's not meant for everyone. And I suppose I just, I'm existing in this space where I'm sort of pondering
the nature of the message. Walk on your own path and realize you are just yourself in a body. That's the nature of it. And nobody ever taught you in any way, shape, or form that. And suppose you think you're on this side or another. Always remember that ultimately your destiny is to become the Supreme Self, one with the Supreme Self, no distinguishment, no difference, because you just dissolve back into the light, where you come from, the purity, the pure essence of it. The body still appears, still needs to be purified. That's the fact of the matter.
I want to, this is the moment where I've caught you in a moment where you're here with me, and we just brought this conversation full circle, because instead of introducing yourself, you asked me what I thought about the Supreme Self, and then you just reiterated essentially exactly what I started the conversation with. And I think that is a signal to us that this has come full circle. So I want to do the thing that I do, and I want to begin to end this transmission, I guess, or this song. And so what I want to do.
If you have time, just have to calibrate it. It's just a matter of that, because the vibrational amplitudes don't actually matter. As long as there's one resonance therein, that actually cancels out all the bad vibes and preserves all the good vibes. So, try that.
So look, man, look. Okay.
It's not anywhere near as bad as you think. It's just all this stuff in the water is just poisoning us, man. You know, rubbish thoughts every single day. They're not the real thoughts. Our thoughts are the one who is observing, you know, not the one who is getting destroyed. That's the illusion. Human life does not ever get destroyed on that level. It only rises up more. That's the beauty of it, man.
This, here's you. Here's a thought. There it goes. And here you still remain. Here's another one. There it goes. You still remain. Here's another one. Oh. Oh. Resistance. No, man. Oh, there you are again. But sometimes, boom, 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 and the weight crushes what he could have been. So this is what I would like to ask you now. This frankly has been a very strange but cathartic.
The strangeness is from absorbing too much household energy in the hospital's premises, the mind control premises, government mind control labs, this and disguised hospitals. The whole point is that I was nervous, awkward in my younger life. I practiced Brahmacharya, and then it took a while to get to that level of harshness. So we as men, we've all gone through these things, and sometimes I speak up about it, and that stuff isn't right whatsoever. And the fact of the matter is that they do think of us when we start to struggle through these urges ourselves. They're not our urges, they're their urges. That's the only thing about it, that's the nature of consciousness, subject and objects, and so on and so forth. So that's the severity of it as well. So we're just picking up the pieces from a post-capitalism age, if you're with me on that. It's already post-capitalism. Capitalism is long gone. It's an age of new systems, novel systems.
Do you think that... Well, what do you think that looks like?
What's that?
What do you think that looks like? I mean, let's suppose that capitalism was a cocoon. And then we emerge from capitalism into this new
paradigm. Full-scale cleanup of the planet Earth, my friend. Full-scale cleanup. Remove all the dust, not the dust of the floor, but all the pollution, all of the nasty chemicals that people have put out there, especially what the city have put out there. For the alien, it's forgivable. They weren't to know, or they were to know, but it's hard to say which. But as for the city, they knew it, and they did it, and they... because it goes to China forever for doing so. So what we need to do is love ourselves first. And then if we're loving ourselves, because we each, a human being is a miniature embodiment of planet Earth. Each human being is a planet unto themselves. That's why it's Allah Rabbul Alameen, the God, the Lord of the worlds, the consciousness, the Lord of the worlds.
You know, in my, in the originalist or the religious tradition that exists here in Utah, where I live, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or the Mormons as they're better known, the founder of that church, Joseph Smith, once described the world that would be to come after the great battle. And he said that all the dirt and all the soil would be blasted and removed from the planet Earth. And what would remain was a pure crystal orb that would shine with the light of the Lord and would be clear and bright. And those who existed on this planet or in this realm would be exactly the same. The dirt and the soil and the filth would be removed from their beings, and they would exist as a pure being of the true light. And I think that's a worthy goal for a person to keep in their mind, to shine forth with the purity, the essence of what it is they believe that perfection is, and that by moving closer to that perfection, they will gain a better understanding of exactly what that means. And I wonder, we've had this interchange, but people people are going to listen to this and they're going to take it however they will, I suppose, but...
That the higher dimensionals, the higher dimensions cancel out the lower dimensions. So all the stuff in the lower dimensions can be completely transcribed into fictional prose in the nature of context of consciousness as absolute form, absolute emptiness, depending on which one you prefer. But all thoughts can be reframed through gratitude, through thankfulness, into purity. It's all information. The entire universe is built on haq. It says in chapter 21, verse 8 of Quran will be that we are, prior to that verse, prior to that ayah, it says in 2:1:17 that we did not create the heavens and the earth for a matter of destruction. No, we created it to hold you onto the faucet and water you for all your scurvy. It's leading a dark message to all beings. It's very, very serious. The consequences of what's happened up on Earth, they will have to live it for eternity, you know? That's the rawness of it. But the good thing is that if you do accept the ultimate supreme self, whose name doesn't matter what, it should be obvious, very, very sure about the creator of all, then you're good to go. You're good to go because you're already innocent in the way through. You don't choose these things. They are made on your behalf by people with malice intentions.
So let's say that you're being listened to and you're being resonated with.
I mean, watch from every angle. Watch from every angle. That's the nature of the struggle of a human monkey. You've got to live through thick and thin with only yourself to defend yourself. But the point is that you have no compass mind on your side, which is a bit of a difference between all that little, just the slightest bit of difference to handling your consciousness, handling reality. I've been in enough wars and survived enough wars on the way here. So now I'm going to be a man or a mother. I'm going up into my man itself, you know. It's very serious. I have to live with what I've done for the rest of my life. So I have to purify myself and go that far into my tantra that it all just falls away and just dissolves like it was never there. Like it's just put across, you know.
I do know.
We're all going for it as men and women. That's the thing. We're all going for it. That's the nature of what happens done to society, people. It's just disgusting. It's completely filthy. And then even then, it's like yoga is being advertised in that way. It's just getting ridiculous. That's not how it is. That's not how it is. Yoga is far more advanced than anything about the body. Yoga is all about the internal cultivation of it, essentially. The shenki of the body, of the spirit basically. And how strong you're the spirit, that's where you go in the end. The breath. Namely that the breath outside of the body lives immortally forever, whereas the breath in the body is only a gift from the breath outside of the body to the body. That's the difference. Ruh al-Quddus.
The spirit of the Lord was breathed into the clay, Adamu.
That's the nature of neurocompile. You can look into and access any aspects of information. So I just recalibrate my eyes, recalibrate my body for a purpose I need to recalibrate it for to create the situation because essentially we still need to essentially show each other awesome respect, you know. All of us need to start respecting each other a lot more than we do because we're all divine beings. Our journey home should only be kindness, you know, compassion.
I think I want to leave it right there.
Yes, brother, and there'll be more to come and in the right way, you know. It's just post-spectrum warfare, this, that, and the other. You can edit your recording how you please, but I'm going to say how it is. It's just post-spectrum warfare. You're not taught about this in school. You're not taught about this in school at all. You have to get out there and fight for your right to live. It's just horrific. That's what they don't tell you at school. That high dimensions are already laid out in that fashion. You have to win as your heavenly self. You have to win as your angelic self. There's no way to get out of it without doing it, without that victory. It's not necessarily the hero's journey, but it is a journey to back to Allah, Rabbul Alameen. And you can get into Fanafila and Bakabila, but the end point of the matter is that it has to be resolved on the dunya level. Peace has to be made on planet Earth. Straight to peace. When it's said peace, it's peace in the outward intellect, not the empty thing. Think about it, think about it. No.
Word up.
There's a lot more to say. There's a lot more to say, my friend. Try saying this. I invoke the highest invocation there ever can be in the Supreme Self.
I invoke the highest invocation there could ever be of the Supreme Self.
Great. Now we're talking my level. That's the standard you got to live at, man, as a man, as a woman, as any creature. Because we're all creation, all the Supreme Self.
You know, as far apart and as far away as we are on some levels, that's the message I've been trying to share with people since I started sharing my message. And I hear you on that one, my friend. So look, I'm going to call it right here. We came to a place where, you know, we came here. So look, this has been the Logos Centrifugal Podcast. I've been a divine spark. You've been a divine spark. And we've tried here to help you, listeners, remember that you are a divine spark. Now go ponder that. We're out of here.
We here at the Logos Centrifugal Podcast work hard to bring you the highest quality audio, the best editing, and the most professionalism of any podcast on the market. Either that or we do the exact opposite. Either way, consider supporting the podcast. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can support the podcast by supporting the podcast. There's a link somewhere, and I encourage you to click the link to support the podcast professionally.